Welcome to Alberta Conservation Association's Harvest Your Own podcast, the resource for everything hunting, navigating through the field, the butcher shop, and the kitchen. Life is all about great food. Let's get started.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Brad Fenson, an avid outdoor enthusiast who has worked as a freelance journalist, photographer, and public speaker for over three decades. I have hunted, fished, and foraged all my life and hope to share my passion for the outdoors. Along the way, I want to encourage everyone to harvest wild proteins and enjoy the satisfaction of providing the next meal for your family. Our goal is to educate, entertain, and inspire individuals to get outdoors and create a connection between food, health, and your future meals. Welcome to Harvest Your Own. Today we have another young lady from Southern Alberta. I'm going to call it Southern Alberta. It's Southwest Water Valley, which is a beautiful place in the province of Alberta. And I'd describe this mom as a scientist who turned adventure photographer and is a content creator on social media, trying to share positive messages and information about getting more out of outdoor experiences. Welcome, Dom. How are you today?
Good, thank you. And thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here today and to chat with you.
Good. Well, Harvest Your Own, it always makes me feel good to do these episodes and share information about the outdoors and, you know, how people can spread a message, a positive vibe within our community. And, you know, I had a look at your webpage and some of your blogs and stuff, and you're a very active lady.
I try to be. I get a little stir crazy inside. So, yeah, we try and get out a lot. I have a 2-year-old. Well, I guess she's almost 3. She'll be 3 here in November. So, as you know, it's hard to be inside with children. So yeah, we try and just get out as much as we can, and we do a little bit of everything from hunting and fishing and backpacking and camping and gardening and all the things. So yeah, we're busy, but it's good.
You know, I think whenever you have kids, it makes life busy, but it's also very enjoyable, and there's no reason to give up those outdoor pursuits just because you have kids. Like, get busy, but make sure you maintain that outdoor lifestyle.
For sure. I think it's so important for your own mental health to be doing the things that fill your cup. And then also introducing kids to the outdoors. I'm so passionate about it. I think it's so important. And there's no better time to start from the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like introducing them to a new second world. You know, our society is so structured around just school or home life. And you see people using cell phones and iPads and stuff to entertain their kids. The ones that get an outdoor education are the ones that really get a chance to grow and flourish and learn more about their surroundings.
Yeah, for sure. There's a kind of really frightening stat. I think it says the average kid now spends 4 to 7 minutes outside in free play a day and 4 to 7 hours on a screen. So that kind of stuck with me and terrifies me.
Sent a shiver down my spine. I just filled out all the paperwork for my girls to start kindergarten. And the questions that I had on there were, like, they were alarming to me. It's like, how many hours of screen time do your kids have? How many hours of television do they have? How often do you eat fast food? And I'm like, none. Oh, like, is this the common question of the day? So it is very alarming, and I think it's very important to have people like yourself on Harvest Your Own to share a message that, hey, you know, you don't have to be the norm. Life gets hectic, but meet it head on. Grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and get out there and do what you love and make sure you share that passion with your kids.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't even think that it has to be, like, you don't have to be doing all of these epic things with your kids. Like, I think it's important just to take them outside to the park. Like, it doesn't have to be this big daunting thing. It's great if you kind of do include them in that kind of stuff, but for people just looking to get started, like, it's, you can start really small in your own backyard.
Yeah, sometimes it's small steps that lead to running.
Definitely.
And you can't beat an outdoor fire.
No, you cannot. I think after my daughter, she was 9 days old when we took her for her first campfire on public land.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Really important to us. Yeah.
Interesting. Now, you're a hunter as well?
Yeah, so I'm not from a hunting family. I'm kind of hunting adjacent. I grew up in the Okanagan. Yep. We had some family and friends that did. But it was something I've always been really drawn to the outdoors and nature. I remember I was on a 6-month kind of backpacking trip in New Zealand in 2012. And after I got my degree, and I was just kind of like reflecting on life and writing down things that I wanted to do in it. And one of those things was that I really wanted to learn how to bow hunt. And I don't know, that was quite a few years ago now, but it's something that I'm still kind of working towards and I'm very excited about. At this point, I haven't yet. I have a bow and I shoot, but all of kind of my hunting at this point has been with a rifle.
Right. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer to build up to the archery end of it, or sometimes it's just a confidence thing. You need to get out there and spend some more time in the woods, and when it actually happens, you'll be like, wow, that was, you know, that elevated the experience.
Yeah, I'm really excited. For sure. My husband is a big archer, so that kind of is very helpful, and it's very interesting to see like his progression through archery. He's also an adult onset hunter.
Yep.
So it's been very cool, and just the last couple of years, like me being pregnant and having our baby, and I haven't gotten to shoot my bow as much as I like, but
right,
hopefully one day.
Well, it's interesting. I had our girl shooting little recurve bows at 3 years of age, so you know, to get them involved, it's like they'll continue to shoot until it's nap time in the afternoon. They'll wear you right out.
I love that. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Now, you said you were working on a degree. What's your degree in?
So I have a bachelor's in agriculture in animal science, and then I have a master's in veterinary science.
Oh, very interesting.
So, yeah, in my prior life, I was a science consultant in the beef industry. So that kind of gave me a very, I don't know, I think agriculture is so important, and knowing where our food comes from is so important. So I have a just a very big respect for ranchers and people providing food for our world, I guess. So then that kind of goes into also why I love hunting so much, because I love to know where our food comes from, and to be able to provide it is so important.
Absolutely. And, you know, farmers don't get credit enough for what they do for all of us. Not only do they provide the food that we have, but a lot of them are responsible for the habitat that's maintained on private ground, so that we have the plethora of wildlife and can enjoy that every time we're outdoors.
Yeah, definitely. Like the ranchers here keeping our grasslands intact are so important for all of those species at risk that call those places home.
Yeah, they certainly are. And you know, I think it's a good reminder to bring it up and have it as a topic and talk about it, because you know, sometimes people don't understand why a farmer would maintain a pasture or native grassland versus plowing it up to grow potatoes, but thank goodness they have that native grassland.
Yeah, like it's so important. I remember just before I kind of had my baby and went on mat leave and didn't go back to work after that, we worked on a mini documentary with the Ducks Unlimited and the Nature Conservancy on the grasslands, and it was just so beautiful. And it's called Guardians of the Grasslands, in case anyone wants to look it up on YouTube. But it's just like a 13-minute mini documentary about our ranchers and how they preserve the native grassland here, and it's just fascinating and so beautifully done.
Yeah, sounds great. I'm gonna look it up myself.
Let me know what you think.
Yeah. Did you ever eat wild game growing up?
Not that I can really remember as a kid. Later on, kind of, I remember bringing home some moose from an uncle to my dorm in university and kind of having that. So that I always thought was very cool. I was pretty into that. But yeah, never really growing up.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have a science background and so does my wife. And I often wonder, do people with a science background, are we more apt to be outdoor adventure seekers or understand our environments better? Is that one of the reasons why so many science-driven people are outdoors people?
I think so. I just think because you just realize how many things are connected, and I don't know, I feel like science is so kind of nuanced in a way that you have to like look at the connections with everything, and I don't know, I think it makes me appreciate it more, just knowing that there's just so much going on that we can never even fathom.
This podcast is produced for Harvest Your Own, a program dedicated to those who want to reconnect with food and health through their experiences outdoors. HarvestYourOwn.ca is a resource for individuals to learn more about hunting and the outdoors. There's information to get you started and ensure that your compass stays pointed in the right direction to be successful. Where's your next meal coming from?
You seem very well-rounded in the outdoors. I mean, again, looking at your page, everything about you is an outdoor lifestyle. You hunt, you fish, you garden. You even train your dog to find shed antlers.
Oh, yeah. Shed hunting is a passion of mine. I love it so much. It was kind of my husband when I first met him. He would go out and do that. And then I had a little blue heeler who has since passed, but I trained him how to shed hunt. And he was like, he was hit and miss, but it was just fun for him. I love kind of working dogs and watching them go. So now we have a just over 1 year old little British lab out of Saskatchewan, and we're working on him. He picked up his first wild antlers this spring, and we got him on some elk sheds. So I'm really hoping to like fine tune him this winter and kind of go big on the shed hunting this coming spring.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome. I don't have a lab to help me, but my twins certainly do. I had them out probably 12 or 15 times last winter, and the one day we put in over 15,000 steps before they tired out on me. But they had a ball. Like, we had to take part of the day and toboggan and add some other enjoyment for them to it. But when they found a shed antler, they were so excited. It was a joy to be with them and share it. You know, quite often I'd spot them and say, walk down that trail, and they'd practically trip on it. But it was exciting times.
Man, that's like so much fun. And yeah, it's like basically a treasure hunt for them. Like, I know Aster gets so excited if we ever find sheds, or if we bring sheds home from a hunt or something. She's just so jazzed about it.
Yeah, it's funny how we can gain so much appreciation and enjoyment from outdoor activities, like something as simple as shed hunting.
Yeah, well, it's just nice to be outside, and like the snow's still on the ground, so you can't do a ton of hiking and camping yet. So it's like a really good spring activity, and just gets you closer to the deer and the elk to know kind of where they winter. And just, it's, I don't know, fascinating in the kind of lifestyle part of them, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. It's a piece of the puzzle to figure out what they're doing at different times of the year. And, you know, winter's a great time because you can pay attention to the tracks and what they're eating and all the rest of it, and learn a lot about them that will help you in the fall if you're a hunter to identify things about specific species and how to find them and all the rest of it. So the things we do every day outdoors are all part of your education as a hunter, and how you put those pieces of the puzzle together, no matter what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that it's just like one more activity to bring a kid along, and it's easy enough. Like, we just pulled her in her little sled this past year, and she napped when she was tired, and we just, I don't know, cool to get her outside. Right. And like you said, another piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Let's jump to your hunting. How old were you when you started hunting, and what was the first thing that you went after?
So I harvested my first grouse on Christmas Day of 2019. So I don't know how old I was then. How many years ago was that for?
You were an adult.
I was an adult. Yeah, I was an adult. Yeah. So it was, my husband and I have a little Christmas morning tradition where we kind of go grouse hunting in the morning. I'm not a very material focused person. And yeah, Christmas kind of made me feel a bit weird. So we kind of just made our own traditions there. And it's one of my favorite things because we've kept that up with our little girl. So I think it's just really nice to go spend the morning, Christmas morning, in the woods. So yeah, the first thing I harvested was a rough grouse that Christmas. And so that was, I guess, 4 years ago now. Yeah. And I think grouse hunting is one of my favorite things to do. Yeah, I just love being out in the woods, just kind of walking around. We could bring the dogs. It's just been great. I think I'm pretty excited for grouse hunting this year too with her.
Yeah, and grouse are so good on the table. Like, they're one of my favorites to eat. You know, I started.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah. First thing I ever shot was a rough grouse, and I remember it fondly. And I still, it takes me back to my childhood every time I get to go out and chase them. So.
Oh, that's amazing. That's so cute.
Yeah. And your husband started hunting as an adult as well?
Yeah, I think he was 23-ish, so maybe 10 years ago now, maybe a little bit older. Yeah, so adult onset hunter, him and his brother taught themselves for the hunt. And then I think he's been bow hunting for about 7 years now. So most of our hunts kind of at this point are surrounded with him and his hunting. We go out as a family a lot.
Oh, good.
Which is pretty great. We got our first deer with our daughter last year. So just before she turned two, we got, she was out on a mule deer hunt with us. And that was probably one of the most special days that we've had with her at this point. It was just beautiful and perfect. And I was just so excited.
Tell us a little bit about it. You have me dreaming about what happened already.
So yeah, she was, it was last November, I guess. And we had the rifle out and we had her in our little backpack on my back, and we spent the morning just kind of like walking around looking for deer. We hunt a lot out in Drumheller area, and we weren't really seeing anything, couldn't really get too close. And then kind of like evening-ish, we went to one last spot, and there was a couple does kind of bedded on a hillside like halfway down a coulee, and we just kind of sat at the top of the coulee for quite a while and watched them and chatted with her about them. And then they kind of got up to meander along and we talked about it. We're like, well, is this something that we're going to do? And it was kind of our last opportunity with her that day. So we decided that we would try and take one. And so we shot it and she was so excited. She gave Rita, like my husband, a big high five after. She was just so jazzed about it. It did go down into the coulee. So we kind of let him go down there. It was pretty snowy and pretty slippery, so I didn't want to chance it with her on my back, kind of heading down and then heading back up. So we just kind of hung out at the top and waited for him to quarter it and bring it up. And she, I think the most special moment was just like him walking up with it in his backpack and just her kind of running up to him. And she was just so excited and just like, yay, daddy, good job. And it was just so sweet. I don't know. I just think that was a moment we've been waiting for a long time as a family, because we hope to continue to hunt together for a really long time, like as long as she's into it and she's excited about it. So yeah, it was kind of just cool to see that interest and that love start growing in her.
You know, it's a wonderful story. And I think there's an important message there for all of us. You know, I've written several articles about this, but introducing kids to the outdoors and hunting and fishing and harvesting at an early age creates an interesting reaction. It's excitement. It's fun. There's a smile on their face. And the only time I've ever seen someone get squeamish or squirm at it or not like it is when there's an adult in the crowd that makes a fuss and it sort of taints the whole thing. But that natural reaction of our kids with us in the outdoors is special. And I haven't talked to anybody where it was negative. When it was just the kids and them.
Yeah, I almost wonder if that's like a learned response from, it must be.
Yeah, you know, I equate it to sometimes if you're eating something at the table and somebody makes a negative comment about the meal and how it tastes, all of a sudden you can see half the table sort of go, ooh, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's that that little bit of doubt or the power of suggestion that sometimes can turn things. So I think parents
that's
that
true.
Take the time to take their kids out and introduce them and make it positive, they're going to be the ones that correct people in the future and set things straight in terms of, no, this is great fun. It's great adventure. This is where our meals come from. And, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's also on the kind of side of working together as a family to do something is something that I think about a lot, because I don't think in modern times we really as a family unit spend a lot of time working together on something. Like even kind of, I think about maybe modern families cooking, even you kind of like the kids are playing or they turn a TV on or whatever you need to do to kind of get dinner done. But there's not a lot of family units doing things together. So every time that we can go on a hunt together and work together or go backpacking or camping together, it's just like really strengthening that family bond and teaching her kind of our values that like, we're a family and we do this together and we help each other.
And they appreciate it. I'm sure Aster is thrilled every time you guys get to go do something.
Well, she's still a toddler, so there's still some time, but I think she appreciates it, yeah.
You know, my wife found some polymer knives on Amazon. When the girls were three, they started helping to I call them my sous chefs. They help prepare dinner. So they would cut up things, and when we have pizza night, they cut up their own toppings for their own pizza and stuff like that. So quite often they're engaged in helping prepare meals, and they understand food. They love to do it. They love to cook. They have their own ideas. They pick their own toppings. They're very individual that way, but we do it as a family, and whether we're out camping or at home and whatever, I think it's a great activity to include them. So, you know, taking your daughter
totally.
Out.
You guys are doing it right.
Taking your daughter out and getting her to high-five dad on her own after harvesting a deer, I think, is pretty special and sets the stage for a life of enjoyment and understanding that a lot of kids just don't get these days.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope that we can kind of introduce her to a lot of things. I think the outdoors is such a good teacher of so many life skills, like how to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And just how to persevere through things. And the outdoors is such a good teacher.
This podcast was made possible by Alberta Conservation Association and the Harvest Your Own community. If you're interested in harvesting your own food, there's a comprehensive collection of information to gain insight and knowledge. Head to the field, harvest your own protein, prepare it, and taste the results. HarvestYourOwn.ca is a library of information from getting started and geared up to processing, butchering, and cooking wild game to make the connection between health and food.
What advice would you give to other young moms and young families out there that love the outdoors, you know, have a family now and has sort of curtailed your lifestyle a little bit? What would you say to encourage them to get out there?
I think I would just say start small. Like, I think that there's, I don't know, maybe if people feel any pressure to kind of do anything huge, it can be scary. I know that I deal with a lot of anxiety sometimes just about like getting out of the house, which maybe doesn't seem like that, but I kind of struggle sometimes. So it's really helpful just to start small, just take some nature walks, just get comfortable doing that, because then the more you do it, the easier it gets to know what to bring and what kind of snacks to pack and where to go. I think it's helpful maybe finding another couple moms or dads or guardians out there who maybe want to do the same thing, so you guys can kind of team up and do stuff together, which I think just makes it easier, I guess, and you don't maybe feel so alone, which is like community is so important. So finding a community that will do that stuff with you is huge.
Yeah, and you're creating your own community. You have a web page and a blog.
Yeah, I try and just share a lot of like tips just about how to get outside. A lot of the questions that we get on social media are like, what do you even bring? Because that's kind of a big pickup for a lot of people. So I try and maybe create like lists of what we bring or what we eat and just kind of that kind of stuff, just to kind of take the guesswork out for some people and hopefully inspire some people to plan some trips of their own and just go outside with their kids, because I think it's so important.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, having the background and knowledge and willing to share that information is important too, because as you said, it creates anxiety in some people. It holds them back. But if they can go to a place and say, oh, well, I remember listening to Dom on that podcast, I'm going to go check it out, her blog, and see what kind of things I should pack for this outdoor adventure I'd like to get on.
Yeah, and I think, like, because I am very sciencey, like, I like to have all of the information. Like, I am an information searcher, so I like to then, like, provide the information that I've learned and, I don't know, gone through trial and error with, just to make it easier for some other people.
Yeah, I read your blogs. You provide great information, and I think it's great insight for other moms and families that and parents that would like to get out and do more. And you even review some equipment in terms of how it works. And, you know, I think all of that is a wealth of knowledge for people that are looking for that information and just don't know where to turn.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And yeah, there's a lot more to come down the pipeline there. Just, yeah, trying to balance everything to get stuff out. But
yeah,
I have big plans.
Yeah, you could do something every day if you just had more time.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
When you started hunting, did you find the journey a tough one to get into, lining up courses or going online? How did you do your hunter education?
I did it online. I think that it was pretty easy for me because, like I said, my husband had kind of gone through that road a couple of years prior. So he was kind of like my little guide through everything, setting it up and taking the courses and that kind of stuff. So it was pretty, I don't know, not very challenging to like figure it all out, which I really appreciate because I can imagine coming into it if you were someone who didn't have kind of anyone to guide you through the process, it would be pretty hard. But I know you guys have some pretty great resources online for people just getting started, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There, you know, and we're lucky in Alberta, we have an online course. You know, the classroom courses are wonderful. And I don't know how many times I've taken it because whenever I have family members that want to get into it and try it and they're a little intimidated, I usually say, I'll just go to the class with you. And we, you know, go together and it's like a refresher, and sometimes I can actually add things or we can interject and have some input. But it's always good. The classroom hunter education courses are wonderful. There's great instructors in Alberta. It's a great learning place. But if you don't have the time and you're a busy mom or you live where there is no classroom instruction, that online course is superb, and you can actually sit down and go through it with people at home.
Yeah, for sure. And it's very interesting. And there is like lots of modules that were, just full of information and very cool. I like learning about all the birds and everything. That was really neat.
Yeah, the Alberta Hunter Education Instructors Association and the conservation education programs, you know, you can go through the Hunter Ed and there's fishing education and a whole bunch of other things that you can take through them, even a bear awareness program online. So they're also a great resource to look up and refer to.
Yeah, that's perfect. It's so nice having everything kind of like together in one spot or a couple of different spots, but they're all kind of linked and makes it easy for people wanting that information just to go out and get it.
Yep. What's next in your hunting adventures? Are you going to tackle some big game or are you sticking with birds? Are you going to try something with your bow?
Yeah, so I have a antlerless mule deer tag this year that I'm going to try and fill with my rifle. So I'm going to, hopefully that'll be like a family thing with Aster. I think it's important to me that she's there for it. So we'll kind of see how that goes. I think she'll be pretty excited. And my husband he's trying to get his moose right now with his bow. So that will be really fun. I think that'll just be a him thing though, because she's almost three now. So I feel like she's a little bit too chatty to sneak up on a bull moose at this point.
Yeah.
It
can have its own challenges.
Yeah. Yeah. So I will just kind of let him do that. And then we'll go out for a January elk tag together, which I'm pretty excited about. And yeah, then just kind of a lot of bird hunting, probably some whitetail hunting by our house, which is always pretty fun. Last year we brought one home and Aster kind of helped skinned it and everything with that. So that was pretty cool. So hopefully we can kind of do that again. Cause it's always, I don't know, kind of nice that it's like, I don't know how to put this, but like to be able to harvest animals that kind of grew up within probably a couple of kilometers of our home is something really special to me too. So we kind of like share the land and can do that.
It is. Yeah. I've actually written a few articles about a challenge, like take the 10-kilometer meal challenge and try to source everything for your meals for a week within 10 kilometers of home. And it's pretty interesting to do stuff like that.
Yeah, that would be so interesting. I know I love kind of when we can have a meal that we brought home, like we harvested, and then stuff from the garden, and where we can have like a wholly homegrown meal is one of like my best kind of nights, I think.
Yeah, they're special days. You know, my girls help me pick cucumbers in the garden, and they wash them and stuff their own jars and make their own dill pickles, and they put their markings on the lid so we know whose is whose, and they always like when we open up one of their jars at supper time to have their particular pickles. So
that's so sweet.
Great activity and a great way to include the kids and to form an appreciation for their food and where it comes from and how to take care of it.
Yeah, Yeah, exactly. I think it's so important, and that's something that a lot of kids don't have these days. So,
have you had moose or elk in the freezer before? It sounds like deer is a staple, and rough grouse would be a favorite or close to the top.
Yes, we just, I think, ran out. We used our last elk grind a couple of weeks ago. So we had one a couple of years ago that Reed got with his bow. And so I'm pretty excited to kind of restock our elk supplies, but the moose will be a first for us. So I'm hoping that we can kind of get that done. And I think that'll be really cool to just add some more variety to the freezer.
Yeah, moose is wonderful. Elk is wonderful. You can never go wrong with deer. You know, it's funny, you get a taste of these things and you sort of hoard it. You talk about it's the last of your elk from 2 years ago, and you know when your last package is there because you've learned to appreciate it and you want more.
Yeah, it was like so sad. I almost didn't want to use it, but.
It's incentive to go get some more.
Yes, exactly. We must. So I think that'll be a really fun one to bring after long and also to restock that.
Now, sourdough, do you create your own starters or just have one that's on the go and keep moving forward with it?
Yeah, so I have a starter. I think she's probably about a year or two old now, I think. So that's another really fun thing that we do. I just kind of keep her going all the time and try and have bread. Astor loves to help kind of with that. That's really fun. Yeah, I think kind of as I get older and more kind of leaning into like the slow living, I guess, that kind of side of things, just the growing a lot of our own food, harvesting a lot of our own, making things from scratch. Just kind of really, like, really sinking into life right now, I guess.
Yeah, again, I think it's appreciation. I had a sourdough starter for years, and when I saw it on your page, I was like, man, I have to get one going again, because I used it for years and years, you know, everything from bread and pancakes and biscuits, like all kinds of stuff. We made everything from the sourdough starter. So it sort of goes hand in hand with that outdoor lifestyle and wild game and growing things in your garden.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be fun for your kids to kind of do stuff with. Like, we make buns, and Astor loves making, she likes to roll her own buns, right. And they come out looking hilarious, but it's adorable and I love it so much.
Yeah, that's good. It's really good to get them engaged and get them hands-on, not watching and not watching TV while you're doing it.
No, exactly.
Food for thought. You probably know I'm going to ask this question, but what's your favorite wild game recipe?
I am a big just like taco girl. I would eat tacos probably every night of the week if we could, and we probably do that sometimes. Yeah, I don't know. I think I just always love tacos. Can't go wrong with it. Sometimes we switched up and make some like heart tacos, but I'm kind of more of like a ground taco girly.
You have your favorite.
Yeah, we do that a lot. We make our own Italian sausage because we process all of our own game also. So we do a lot of Italian sausage, which is really good. So one of those things is normally on the meal plan.
Yeah, Italian sausage is so versatile, from spaghetti sauce to meatballs to a soup base and all the rest of it. We do the same. We make a couple batches every year, and we use it in a lot of dishes.
Yeah, it was just so good. And we end up accidentally growing like 20 spaghetti squash a year, so then we have that in our spaghetti squash a lot, which is good.
Very good. I love spaghetti squash.
You want some? We have way too many.
There you go. Yeah, I'll trade you for something.
Perfect.
Where can people find more information on Dom Carson?
So I'm mostly active on Instagram, so at Dom Carson. And then I have a website, domcarson.ca, that I try and kind of post some blogs and stuff about. Occasionally, I am kind of doing some seminars at Bass Pro Shops or Cabela's. I did one on kind of a beginner camping workshop earlier this spring, so I'm sure I'll have some other ones coming up there if you wanted any in-person things
Very good. I'd like to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. Your messages are wonderful. They're very informative, and I'm sure that they're helping lots of people formulate plans to get outdoors and enjoy themselves with their families and do more of the things they want to do in life without worrying about, I can't do it, I've got kids, or I can't, you know, I don't have enough time. You can make it work and make it happen if you want to.
Yeah, for sure. This is our one shot. This is our one life. So right? Yeah. If you're not doing what you want to do, then you got to do something different.
That's great advice. And I think we'll list all your social media handles when we post this podcast. And I'd like to thank you very much for coming on and sharing your information.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you today.
We hope to inspire people to reconnect with nature and appreciate where your food comes from by harvesting your own. For more information on getting started or to learn specifics about the Field to Fork experience, visit harvestyourown.ca and follow on Facebook and Instagram. Check back often for new material, recipes, and videos that are posted regularly. Please subscribe to Harvest Your Own podcast and take the time to rate and review the show to help us build a dedicated core of passionate hunters as our regular audience. Until next time, embrace the outdoors and all it has to offer. Thanks for joining us.